Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Got a little news for you.
It's the news update on Make It Rain.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Dane. I'm Alex Fasano with your Make It Rain news update. What a roller coaster of a ride we had in week 15. Let's get into some recaps. We're going to start things off with a new number one seed in the NFC thanks to the Atlanta Falcons taking down the San Francisco 49ers 29-22 thanks to a last-second connection from Matt Ryan to Julio Jones. It was called not a touchdown. After review, he broke the plane, and the Falcons, shocking, the number one seed, former number one seeded team in the NFC. San Francisco drops to the fifth seed now. Seattle currently holds the number one seed in the game. Matt Ryan finished with 210 yards, two touchdowns. We have Julio Jones, who had a day, 13 catches, 134 yards, and two touchdowns. That's what a day for him in fantasy. I know whoever he had for the semifinals definitely was happy to have Julio in their lineups. On the other side of the ball for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo finishes with 200 yards, one touchdown. Raheem Mostert added 54 yards on the ground and a score. Kyle Juszczyk also had a catch for a touchdown. George Kittle, the tight end, what a day for him. He had 13 catches of his own, as well as 134 yards to go with that. So interesting to see how the San Francisco 49ers will bounce back to this one. Atlanta just keeps spoiling everybody's season. It's crazy. So kudos to the Falcons on a job well done. Let's go to Tennessee, where the AFC South standings are a tight one. The Houston Texans take down the Titans 24-21. Deshaun Watson finishes with 243 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Carlos Hyde had 104 yards on the ground and a score. Kenny Stills, the wide receiver, had three catches for 35 yards and two touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins added 119 yards himself. Ryan Tannehill for the Titans, he was doing great, and he still had a great game. 279 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. He also rushed for a touchdown as well. A.J. Brown, man, what a great player this kid is. Eight catches, 114 yards, one touchdown.
Really coming on.
He is great, man. He's really coming on to a team that needs some offensive weapons around Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. So Titans are doing well. Just couldn't get it done in this matchup. Tight end Jonnu Smith getting involved, 60 yards. on 5 catches, as well as 1 rush for 57 yards. Interesting to see a tight end run like that. But Texans taking the win in this one. Let's go to, why not? We'll go to Sunday Night Football. I want to save it for last, but we'll go to Sunday Night Football where my Steelers fell short. Buffalo Bills taking them down 17-10. Josh Allen finishes with 139 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, but he rushed for a touchdown as well. Tight end Tyler Croft caught the touchdown that gave him the lead, his only catch of the day, 14 yards and a score. On the other side for the Steelers, Devlin Duck Hodges, man, not looking too good. 202 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. James Conner made his return and showed up, 42 yards on the ground. He had 9 yards and 4 catches, but 1 touchdown to go with that. James Washington, 5 catches for 83 yards. Shakeup in the AFC standings as now the Bills still have the 5th seed, but they are coming in close to that Patriots who they play this week in Foxborough. It's going to be major implications for the AFC East standings, but we'll see if the Patriots lose back-to-back games in Foxborough. Yeah, I don't know about that, but we'll see what happens. It's a divisional matchup. Right. Anything can happen, but those Patriots are vulnerable, as we saw Cincinnati take it to them in the first half, but not the second half. Let's go to another key division game, which has a lot of standing implications for the playoffs. The Philadelphia Eagles came back and beat the Washington Redskins. I know Kevin Walsh here on In-Game Live was very nervous about that heading into the last minute of the game. For the Eagles, Carson Wentz, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. Miles Sanders, what a day for him. 19 rushes, 122 yards, and a score. But he had 6 catches on 6 targets for 50 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Greg Ward, Alshon Jeffrey's out, Nelson Aguilar's out. Greg Ward stepped up, 7 catches for 61 yards and a score. Unfortunately, Dane, our boy J.J. Arcega-Whiteside did not do anything. Arcega-Whiteside did not do anything in this game.
We did talk about, however, you know, we did talk about that Sanders and Ertz were going to be the concentration of the offense, and that is what happened. Sanders, 122 yards on the ground and a touchdown, also receiving touchdown, 6 for 50. Ertz did his thing as well. With a touchdown and hitting his over prop on yardage.
Absolutely. 61 yards on 5 catches for Zach Ertz in this one. For the Washington football team, Dwayne Haskins starting to play a little better, guys. 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, 26 yards on the ground. Adrian Peterson had 66 yards and a score on the ground. He also had 3 catches for 25 yards. Terry McLaurin, another great young stud, 5 catches on 5 targets, 130 yards. And a touchdown.
Hey, and Joe, we didn't have a chance to talk to you yesterday morning. What do you make of the fact that Urban Meyer was in the building there at FedEx? He's got some experience with Haskins and McLaren and that crew.
I think he was there to up the price for Jerry Jones.
Maybe. Like how teams use the Yankees as leverage, you could use Dan Snyder as the same thing.
I think he just added a few zeros there once Jerry stormed in the booth.
There we go. We'll see what happens, how Jerry responds to Urban Meyer being at FedEx Field. Guys, tonight, Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts head to the Dome to take on the Saints. Saints are 9.5-point favorites, and the total is 47. All right, going to send the show back to Make It Rain, helping you win some cash this Monday morning.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught you all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar bills, y'all.
All right, here we go. Hour 2, time to make it rain on the grid. SportsGrid.com. I'm Joe Ranieri. He is Dane Martinez. And we'll take a look at this game here tonight. Of course, finalizing the Week 15 lineup here with the Saints with no time and no room to mess around. There is a home playoff possible bye at stake here for these final couple of games. And it starts with not losing to teams like the Colts in this matchup. So we'll dive in there, take a look at the latest lines. And don't forget, of course, Friday we'll be here. And so will bowl season. Will kick off. We've got a little action going on in the Bahamas. We actually got a couple of games this weekend, which is going to be fun. So we'll start diving into some college football. We'll get Joe Lisi on here, watch him rant and rave, and then we'll make fun of his picks. It's always a good time there whenever Lisi comes in there. Congratulations to Navy dismantling Army there on Saturday. Not really making it much of a game.
Once.
Yeah. You know, what I did not realize, and I should have realized, was that the Army quarterback got knocked out in the Hawaii game. And so the kid they had under center yesterday or Saturday was nice kid. I mean, you know, freshman who's had like three snaps all year long, but their starter all year long, the upperclassman, that kid got crushed in the Hawaii game. So it wasn't meant to be. Hey, they scored first. They drew first blood, which was awesome. It gave you an opportunity to hop on Navy at a much better price if that was the route you were going to go. But Navy now moves on December 31st. Keep an eye on this. Taking on Kansas State in their bowl game.
Yeah.
That was their de facto bowl game yesterday. That was their national championship game on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of motivation. Effort are we going to get from this Navy team taking on Kansas State, because really they were not losing to Army again. Was not happening. That was it. That was all they wanted, and they got it. So keep an eye on that, and keep an eye on that look ahead line too.
Let's dive
into some of those.
He ain't running for 300 yards in the bowl game. I'll say that.
Yeah. It's congratulations to Joe Burrow. We'll touch base on him, the Heisman, all that good stuff, too. Coming up next on The Grid, sportsgrid.com. Let's make it rain.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads, serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcast and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Welcome back in here to The Grid. It's time to make it rain. I'm Joe Ranieri. He is Dana Martinez. We got a Week 15 game here coming up tonight to close it out between the Saints and the Colts, and we'll dive into that game coming up. But a couple other headlines from over the weekend in the world of sports, which would include your 2019 Heisman winner.
It is my pleasure to announce the 2019 winner and 85th recipient of the Heisman Memorial Trophy is Joe Burrow, Louisiana State University. Congratulations, LSU.
Good job. Only, I believe, just the second LSU quarterback to win the Heisman, and they don't often, you know, quarterbacks don't come very often out of LSU. It's not been known for that, but. Right. Pretty cool speech, too, during.
You know, this is what little kids dream of doing.
When I envision myself growing up playing football, I envision myself on that stage and being the quarterback of the number one team in the country, getting ready to play for a chance for the national title. So this entire season has been a dream come true for me.
Yeah, but it's about to end, unfortunately, rather quickly for you. But truth is, Joe Burrow, the best college football player this year. I don't think it's even close, to tell you the truth. Chase Young, awesome. And he will certainly be paid if he wants, because apparently the rumors came out that Chase Young don't know if he wants to leave or not. I think basically he's just upping the ante of teams of what they're going to have to come to the table with. Right. But Joe Burrow, and we talked about it. Listen, you got a couple of games here in order to prove that the Heisman was no fluke. And then, of course, you in all likelihood are going, if it stays the way it is, Cincinnati's not going to keep Andy Dalton. So Joe Burrow's going to be number one. I just don't know that his game translates. And we've seen a lot of these Heisman winners that turn pro. And sure. You're like, ooh, yeah. But I think he's got there are still some naysayers out there. As much smoke as the media likes to blow his way, he's got a couple of games to prove the naysayers wrong here. It starts, of course, with the first game and then a national championship game after that, depending on who he's going to play. But Burrow's got some work to do. How fitting would it be, OSU versus Ohio? Huh? How interesting would that be? A place that he would have played, both places. It's kind of crazy.
That's right. And here's the other thing, Joe. You know, this transfer window is now becoming a more viable way. Think about it, Joe. Three of the four starting quarterbacks in the playoffs are there because of transfers. Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Fields, I do believe, right? And those are three of what, the top five Heisman winners, right? So I'm thinking about, if in a bigger picture, the idea that this transfer is another way. Think about it. Eason transferred to Washington also because Fromm was there, you know, and others transferring to big name schools. And then also this idea that the dual threat quarterback is more and more accepted. You know, we see what some of these guys are doing, whether it's Lamar or Kyler. And to your point of like Joe Burrow, will it translate? I'm looking at guys like Hurts and Fields and others to see if the NFL gives them the opportunity to show if it translates as a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's what I find really interesting about the horizon and what's in the future in store for some of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, but it starts, of course, by winning your first game.
Absolutely.
And then making it to a national championship, and we'll see how it goes from there.
There will be a transfer quarterback in the national championship game because two of them are facing each other in the semis.
Yeah, two of them are facing it, exactly.
Right, so there will definitely be a transfer quarterback in the championship game.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to see. He's still got to have the talent, and this poor kid, I don't know how they let him go in Ohio State. I'm still trying to figure that out. Urban just didn't like him for some reason.
They had other options. You know, Haskins was there, or now they get Fields. It's not like, you know, you're right. You know, Burrow is obviously a beast, but it's not like their cupboard was bare. You know what I mean?
No. It wasn't like it was him or, you know, nothing. We get that. But again, still, it's a Heisman winner. Not on your team as you get ready to go to a national. Let's see how Fields works out against Clemson. Yeah.
Hurts left, and wouldn't Alabama like to have him now?
Yeah, it's roll the dice, the dice. Other headlines over the weekend.
And that means Tiger Woods is a winner as a captain.
Yeah, not only was he a winner as a captain, but the dude opened up the singles matches with everybody down going up against the best player the Europeans had all week in Abraham Anser and smoked him. Smoked him, setting the tone there. So congratulations. Tiger brought his team back. The singles matches, the pairings, how he set it all up. He's rolling, not to mention, I don't think he lost all week. He took Saturday off. But, man, that dude just rolled out there. Tiger just rolled over. Guy is looking good. I'm telling you. I know it's only a couple of months away.
Got a few months till Augusta, huh?
Look out, man. Defending champ. I guarantee you he won't be, 14-1?
Right. Do you think, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so it'll be Koepka, right? Koepka, DJ, you know, the big boys Heath, like Rory's, Heath, right? Mm-hmm. Woods will be right there. Woods will be right there. I will call Woods. I'm making this up right now. I'm going to say he's going to be the fourth choice to win. I don't think he'll be ahead of Koepka. I don't think he'll be ahead of a guy like DJ. Then there's maybe like the Rorys in there, the Spieths. He'll be right there, though, at the level of like Justin Thomas, John Rahm, those guys.
And he should be. Defending champ. And the way he's playing and the way he rolled out there in Australia, congratulations.
The thing is, he's only going to play tournaments, right? His load will be less, and it'll all be steered to four specific tournaments to give him a best shot. But if he's bringing his A game and the back is okay, there's no reason why he can't contend.
Yeah, he rolled in this tournament. He is in better than mid-season form right now, guys. Like, this is everything is leading up right now.
It can go at any time. It can go at any time.
Yep, we'll come see. March, he'll do a couple of tournaments here and there. He'll do the California, he'll do Pebble,
he'll
that
swing.
Whole warm up. He's coming. Shoot. Then we won't see him after April. Yeah,
hey,
we won't see him.
I want to give a shout out to our guy Jay, the Sports Keg CEO. Also, okay, I put together a 3-fight parlay based on what he told us on Friday, and bang, it came in. I had Amanda Nunez, the guy Jan, and then this guy Moraes, who beat Jose Aldo in what was a split decision at UFC 245. But once again, Jay, the Sports Keg CEO, coming in with winners for us.
Yeah, crushing it. But there was also a. That Covington fight would have been nice to have Covington as a dog, but it was wow, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Mark Goddard has called a stop to this contest at 4:10 of round number 5, declaring the winner by TKO and still the undisputed UFC welterweight champion of the world, Kamaru.
Just so much fun, man. On it, it really was. And by the way, it was a great fight. It really was a great fight.
And it should have won the last 50 seconds.
Yes, I'm kind of with you that they did that. Yeah, I'm.
Let the man try and finish it out. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As somebody who had a decision as a prop, 50 seconds.
Will it go right? Joe, I thought that Christian Okoye was the Nigerian nightmare. Remember him, the running back from the Chiefs back in the day?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
And outside of Bo Jackson, the most dominant back on Tecmo Bowl, if you were Christian Okoye on Tecmo Bowl, you were doing your thing. But apparently he didn't copyright the nickname.
No, he's and he looked like a bit of a nightmare, a little smaller than what we were used to, but still a great card. And Amanda Nunes continues to dominate the sport, dominate our weight class. She's still pound for pound one of the best fighters that we have seen, and she's just crushing people along the way. I don't know who's going to beat her. I really don't. I don't think there's anybody left. Not in that weight class.
Maybe Bob comes back after she has her kid.
Yeah. Next time she does fight, better early. Otherwise, you're going to be laying $4 or $5 every time she fights for me. I'm shocked you got her under $3 if you're able to. Yeah, she's a beast. Absolute beast. But good parlay maker there. She's a good anchor.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taron Killam, and Carrie Brownstein Magazine, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, rise and grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Might be time for you guys to get in the game, especially tonight, Monday Night Football, getting ready, and bowl season, of course, starting this weekend. And you can do so by opening yourself up a DraftKings Sportsbook account, because if you're watching or listening to this show right now, you guys have an opportunity to get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Here's how it works. You simply create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. You make a deposit, and then go ahead, place your first bet, DraftKings. They'll match it with a 50% bonus of up to $500, and the offer eligible to all users. And new users, you guys get a risk-free bet of up to $200 simply by heading to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That is sportsgrid.com/DK. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Check out the website for details. And welcome in here to the grid, sportsgrid.com. I'm Joe Ranieri, is Dane Martinez, as we look to this Monday Night Football matchup between the Colts and the Saints. Absolute roller coaster of a year here, of course, for the Colts. I mean, think about where they started. Andrew Luck, yeah. Is he practicing? Is he not? What's going on with this injury? He had some sort of freak thing from April, and now...
Yeah.
All of a sudden now he's retired, he retires in the preseason, and they start the year off 5-2, Dane, out of nowhere. And a lot of people are going, not bad. They end up signing, you know, they give a bit of an extension there, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, the Colts, they rattle off, you know, 5 out of 7 wins. Then the injuries start to pile up, and then hard times start to pile up. They've dropped 3 straight, 5 of their last 6. They lost to the Bucs 38-35. Yeah. They were a 3-point dog in that matchup. They're still alive technically for the playoff spot, but they need to win out, and they need some major breaks in order to be able to push through. So they're 6-5 and 2, I believe, against the number this year. They've only got +1 point differential, Dane. I think that tells you everything you need to know about their season. 22 point. Yeah, they're 22 on offense. They're giving up 22 on defense for the most part. So they are what they are. They can strike lightning. They've shown they have the capability, I think, especially with that offensive line. Now, the interesting part here is they do catch a Saints team that's banged up themselves. They lost Rankins. That's a big, big problem against for the run game there, against this Saints team. So, you know, they've got some issues there, the Saints do. So it's not like the Saints are fresh and ready to rock and roll. They have an opportunity. The question is, will they be able to take advantage of it? T.Y. Hilton, again, remains to be a game-time decision. He would help, certainly be able to help there. But, He's been the one guy this year I think they've missed the most of all the injuries. T.Y. going out, this is a different team without him, stretching the field.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I mean, T.Y. Hilton is one of the best, I don't know, put the number on it, 5, 7, 10 yes. wide receivers in the NFL. Okay, he's definitely a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. And so that's a big loss. They were without Marlon Mack for a good chunk, like for almost a month in there. Don't get it twisted. Eric Ebron is a big part of that offense, especially in the red zone, and he's been gone. And it has been an up and down season for these Colts, Joe. Remember, they were a trendy Super Bowl pick with Andrew Luck as their quarterback going in. A lot of people that wanted to be smart thought the Colts had an idea. And then think about it. These books were like refunding bets. Remember, they were refunding Colts bets after the Andrew Luck retirement. Yep. And then we thought they may still be a good live pick to win the division as they got off to the hot start. I also remember, Joe, I think like 8 of their first 9 games were decided by 6 points or less, because there was a time in there when I was talking about how bad the Vinatieri issues were for them in the kicking game. But I do think that with their backup quarterback, in essence, who has played well in Brissett, and the injuries, over time, they are starting to fall off the cliff. And they have lost their last few games. I think that they have good coaching. I like Frank Reich, but that's who they are now. You know, they're kind of settling into who they are. And without all their studs, you know, they're a decent 500 kind of team. On the other side, though, the Saints.
Don't get it confused either, guys. Don't romanticize about the Colts and what they know. They're mediocre at best.
They're a decent team, right? I would say that with T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack and Eric Ebron and Rowling, they could be an above average team. But without that, they're a decent team. And here's the thing for me on the other side, though, Joe. The Saints are one of the teams I trust. You know what I mean? I trust them, mostly Breeze and Peyton, to not lay an egg in this spot. You know what I mean? There are certain other teams where when it profiles like, oh, they should get the win, they could come out and completely lay an egg. You know, we've seen that with teams like the Rams, like the Cowboys, like the Browns, right? Teams who should win but don't. The Saints are not that kind of team. In the dome, on prime time, they're going to bring it. Okay, and I think that that is enough to get a double-digit win tonight. I would lay the 9 points. Another way I might go after this, though, Joe, if you think the Colts can hang around, you can move this 9 to like 2.5 to under a field goal, and then what I would do is take the total up and go under it, right? Like if I teased, you know, the Saints to -2.5, and then this total to like 53, then I'd be comfortable going under that, because I don't know that the Colts will hold up to their end of the scoring barrage bargain in this game.
It's a tough spot for the Colts. I do love the Colts offensive line. That's the one X factor with them. When they want to impose their will, they can impose their will. And Mack is he's a great runner. And let's face it, the best defense is keeping Drew Brees and that Saints offense on the sideline. But I will say this, guys, the Mercedes-Benz Dome, it's not known as Coors Field of the NFL for nothing. And you watched what a number one defense did against that offense last week, and vice versa. It's not like the Saints defense. You're talking about another, you know, top five defense there, guys, that got lit up. This game's got shootout written all over it to me. So to me, there's plenty of value in that number. Yeah, they're going to be able to score because it's not the same defense. They are banged up. They will be able to run the ball on this team, and I do think they'll be able to score plenty enough points. And just like we saw last week in this building, it's going to be a fireworks show. Unfortunately, it's going to be a fireworks show to the tune of probably a 20-point loss for Indy. But this is going to be well into the 50s when it's all said and done. And, you know, now all of a sudden we got to start looking ahead to week 16 and 17, because the Saints got a tough one next week going into Tennessee on the road. They're not exactly the same team on the road as they are. It's a different team. So I do think there's a possibility that when we're all said and done here, you know, we're talking San Francisco or Seattle, but the truth is New Orleans could be the number one seed here in the NFC. I think they have the inside track on it.
To be quite honest, I just look back at the schedule. They beat Seattle heads up, Joe. They beat Seattle heads up. Now, I know they lost to San Francisco heads up, right? But Seattle's in the driver's seat now to be the team that they would have to look at the tiebreakers against. They beat Seattle, and I think it was week like four of the season. They beat Seattle heads up. They have not played Green Bay. Okay, but you and I both think New Orleans will win this game. That would leave New Orleans and Seattle and Green Bay all with 11 wins. San Fran would have 11 wins as well, but they would not be the division leader, right? So you got three division winners fighting for two byes, Joe. And so, you know, New Orleans can't take their foot off the gas pedal at all if they want this road to go through the dome, and I imagine they do. They don't want to go up to Green Bay in January. They don't want to fly out west to see that. They want it there. So I think the Saints do have the inside track because their heads-up win against Seattle, and, you know, because I do think – who do they got week 17? I think it's Carolina, and I think Carolina more than almost any other team, I think Carolina has given up. You know what I mean? So this is it is in front of them. Meanwhile, Seattle's got to play San Francisco. Green Bay's got to play Minnesota. So I think it sets up for the Saints to be the one seed and for the NFC to go through the dome.
Yeah, it's and that's not going to be an easy that's not going to be an easy match for anybody. Yeah, and it'll give them a time to get a little healthier, but they can attack in so many different ways. I'm telling you right now, the NFC playoffs are going to provide us some of the best football, some of the most exciting games that we have seen in a long time. Because sometimes we get to that point and it's like blowout.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're gonna have like 11 or 12 win teams in there.
Yeah. We're gonna have some fun games. I mean, fun games.
And then
Two teams worry me though. Two teams worry me a lot when it comes to if you're planning on backing them in a playoff push, and they could very well be one and done. The Patriots. I'm sorry, man. You know, you could even have a bye. I'm still worried about that Patriots offense translating into a win in January. And Green Bay did it again yesterday. I mean, yes, they continue to win games. They win them ugly. But it's how they're going about these games that scare me. Outside of a couple of big Devontae Freeman passes, they slept walk in the second half of that game yesterday and allowed the inept Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears to get right back in that game. Where you should have put your foot on the pedal and blown them out so it wasn't a point, but yet you were just one more pass away, one more lateral away from that game being tied. And it's because, again, you stopped playing in the second half. That offense is, you know, it's either big play, big pass to Devontae Freeman or what? And that scares me with this Green Bay team, especially in the NFC. Given what defenses they're going to be going up against.
It's true. This NFC is going to be a gauntlet, right? And then, to be quite honest, Joe, and I know no one wants to consider this, but that year when Seattle won that division at 7-9, they then won that playoff game, right? So, like, Dallas, Philly, what happens when they beat, you know, Seattle in the wild card game, you know? Yep. Let's not count them out just yet.
Yeah. If Dallas plays the way they did yesterday, he can beat anybody. I don't care who it is. Anybody.
And what a trip.
Will they? Don't know about that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals. At Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, I find it hysterical, too, the fascination with Urban Meyer being at a Washington game there yesterday, and somehow that's going to translate into the NFL. Urban Meyer is a lot of things. Stupid, I don't think, is one of them. And if there has ever been a guy that understands where he excels, he's never had this burning desire. He is not Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson wanted to eventually get to the NFL. Jimmy Johnson wanted to dominate everywhere he went. He did it. Oklahoma State, University of Miami, Dallas. He wanted to get to the NFL. Switzer, you know, he was a puppet anyway. But I mean, Switzer, yeah, he Oklahoma, right to the Cowboys, good to go. Urban Meyer is not that guy. Urban Meyer is not a guy that ever had NFL aspirations. He's a guy that always loved to be in control. He is very Nick Saban-ish from that standpoint. Right. Nick Saban came to the NFL, left. Bobby Petrino came to the NFL, left rather quickly. I don't think Urban Meyer, unless the money is so ridiculous, Urban Meyer's strength lies in recruiting and lies with getting quarterbacks and fielding teams like that in strength. That is not, you can't recruit an NFL team, number one. Number two, you're going to be surrounded with a whole bunch of dudes who make more than you, Urban. And that doesn't seem to be, you got to be a very special kind of person to want to do that. I don't see that happening with Urban Meyer. I don't. I think he's loving what he's got right now, loves the speculation. If he comes back to coach, it'll be on the college level. It ain't going to be in the NFL unless Jerry keeps adding zeros, which he might do after seeing him hanging out with Daniel Snyder. So, but I don't see Urban Meyer coming back to the NFL. I don't. It's not a good fit.
The one thing is, though, that, right, like, that's why you fire your coach in season, right? To try to get a head start on candidates, right? So I agree with you. I don't know that this is the right fit for a guy like Urban Meyer. The guy has also had health issues, you know, and Daniel Snyder will give you heart problems. Let's put it that way, right?
Exactly.
So, but this is why you drop the hammer midseason, right? To get a jump on Carolina or the Jets or the Giants or any of the other teams. And if you were looking to get the jump on some high-end candidates, this is what you do, invite them to the booth. But I don't know. I agree. I don't think it's ultimately a marriage made in heaven. But this is why you try to get ahead of it by making the move in season.
Right. And I don't see it. Don't get me wrong. On the sidelines, I don't see it. I believe Urban Meyer, would he take a front office job? Would he take a, you know, a consultant job in the NFL? Would he do something? Absolutely, because that now you're talking for him. He's a guy
less stress.
Exactly. But he loves the control factor and being able to, you know, and handpick a coach. You know, I could see him in a front office role, consultant, some sort of management role. I don't see it as on the sideline. It's just everything that goes against who he is. And everything he does well is, let's face it, Urban puts all the right people around him and you know, recruits better than anybody. You ain't recruiting in the NFL, my man. Like, they ain't happening. I don't care. Unless you're putting together an entire team of, you know, Ohio State people. Is that all you're going to? Listen, They tried that with Chip Kelly
out there.
Yeah,
that's
right. Chip Kelly tried that with Oregon players. It didn't work out all that well in Philadelphia. So I don't see it. It's a nice story, but I do not see Urban coming. I do see him going somewhere, though. I don't understand what's going on with USC just yet, but I can guarantee you. Yeah, I can guarantee you they asked him and he turned them down for whatever reason, which is why they went back to Helton. But that job is, and I don't know, is USC even what it used to be? I mean, honestly,
it's not as dramatic as the example I'm going to say, but it's kind of like the Knicks, you know, like new young kids, millennials, they don't know about all the stuff that made the Knicks such a draw, right? Madison Square Garden. They don't give a damn about that kind of stuff. Maybe not to the same extent with USC, but like when was the last time USC was this kind of dominant program? We're talking about the early aughts, right? Like 15 years ago when it was Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and that kind of string, right? When they went like Carson Palmer to Matt Leinart, even to Sanchez, what have you. That's about 15 years ago, Joe. If you're an 18-year-old kid having someone visit your living room, that's not the impressive. USC is not the impressive school to you. Yes. You know, you care more about like Georgia, you know, or Ohio State or these other schools that have been at the upper echelon since that's USC correct. Has kind of been in a down cycle, right? Yep. But I got an idea for us, Joe. One of these, like not now, right, but maybe – wild card weekend or something like that. Let's play the game of seeing where all the coaching vacancies may be in the NFL and all the potential candidates, right? And try to play a little merry-go-round matching game. And I think we could do the same thing with the quarterbacks. You know, we're talking about Tannehill and others, right? But what are the open teams that may be in the quarterback market? Who are the assets out there, whether they're guys like Tannehill, guys like Joe Burrow, or even, you know, the Philip Riverses of the world, and try to play the guessing game of where will people be when the music stops in the offseason?
Yep. You could do that with quarterbacks, too. And I'll say this. I do think that you are looking at a situation where they're going to – they're going to be bringing back Jameis Winston to Tampa Bay. And Arians, I think, is already stamping that. He looks – what do you do? He keeps winning games, and Bruce Arians keeps getting behind him. He stayed out of trouble this year under this regime. The Bucs have now, what, for the last 4 weeks now, they have and granted, they're not beating the upper echelon, but the truth is – Tampa Bay, nobody really wants to go and take on. While, yes, he's going to continue to make those stupid-ass interceptions, you've got a decision to make if you're Tampa. And I don't think that Bruce Arians is going to go and be like, all right, let's start from scratch. Like, he didn't come back out of retirement in order to say, hey, let me start from scratch and build up a team. If he thinks he can win with Winston, they're going to have to decide what they want to do. Now, does that mean what? Does that mean franchise him? Does that mean give him a, you know, Nick Foles kind of money? Like, what do you do with Jameis Winston? But I do think he's coming back as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Joe, the Bucs are in second place in that division.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
Joe, the Bucs are 7-7. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing, and I agree with you. Bruce Arians doesn't come out of retirement with health issues unless he thinks that Jameis Winston is the piece of clay that he wants to mold, okay? Yeah. He ain't going to the beginning of the cycle at whatever age he's at to come on back from his cushy life and his reputation unless he thinks he can get the job done with Jameis Winston. And honestly, the man is going to go throw for over 5,000 yards. He's going to have one of the best passing seasons of all time, and that's that offense, right? And one of the things we've said for a lot of this season, Joe, is that Todd Bowles is a good enough defensive coordinator for us, right? Mm-hmm. So, Joe, like – much like how in the AFC East, the Bills and the Jets are all just trying to be ready to go when Tom Brady walks away, the Buccaneers are set up more than any other team in that division for when Drew Brees walks away. And I'm if I'm Bruce Arians and Jameis, I give him this kind of Jacoby Brissett, Derek Carr kind of money and see if that gets it done. I think there's going to be like elite quarterback contracts, the like game manager, we want a date kind of contract. And then there's going to be the franchise and merry-go-round route. And I think Jameis Winston is in that he gets a contract. He just ain't breaking the bank.
Yeah, he's another one of these guys where I think they're already paying him, what, $19, $20 million anyway. Right. They've just got to decide.
You give him 25 a year. You give him 24, yeah, 25 a year for two or three, and you call it, or 3 years, and you call it a day.
He's basically Nick Foles then, and then you see what he can get. I don't know how much more he can improve. They can't run the ball. The defense is a sieve, so he's going to have to be that guy that throws the ball 50 times a game, and you're going to get two interceptions. You're going to have four touchdowns, two picks, three touchdowns, a pick, and a fight. You're going to get that from him. But with Bruce Arians' offense, they don't have a problem dropping him back 45, 50 times. That's in right. fact, they'd almost prefer doing it that way, I think.
Yep. And to be honest, Joe, I mean, like, I'm going to be on this team next year, because what we'll also do is you're going to give Todd Bowles another year with the defense, right? Who was that draft pick they had? Devin, I always forget him. Is it Bush
Devin
or White?
Yep.
Devin White, right.
White, yep.
And I mean, you give me another year of free agency, another year of draft, where it's absolutely clear all you got to do is give Todd Bowles more weapons or more toys to play with. Their offense is fine. They're the third highest scoring offense in the NFL, Joe. You know, you just give Jameis another year with Bruce. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the best damn wide receiver tandem in the NFL right now.
Yep.
You know, you got OJ at you maybe get a little offensive line help. I believe in Ronald Jones as a young back. You invest in the defensive side of this ball. The Bucs are not as far away as people think, and they've at least done enough to give that group. And by that group, I mean Arians and Leftwich and Bowles and Jameis. They've done enough to give that group another year to try and get even better.
Yeah, I don't know that Bowles is there, though, next year. I think he's going to get plenty of head coaching interviews. And I think he may be back in the NFL before long.
As a head coach.
As a head coach, I do think he's going to get plenty of interviews here. And I would not at all surprise. I mean, listen, it wasn't like he was disliked by the players or the organization. It was not
would
at all.
Would you hire Ron Rivera, though, still ahead of Todd Bowles, if you were looking for a defensive guy?
I'd put him on similar footing. You know, I mean, Rivera's probably going to get just as many calls, obviously.
Sure.
I don't think Rivera's going to be out very long, so to speak. I think he'll have a job, but I think with the amount of openings there's going to be, I think teams would be crazy.
Yeah, we got to go through the exercise.
Not to bring in there. Yeah, you'd be crazy not to bring him in.
Because you got like that San Francisco defensive line coach also that's getting looks. The Dallas guy, Rashard. You know, there's going to be a lot of chairs and a lot of people playing musical chairs. So we should go through it one day later.
But having a guy that has experience being able to have done it in New York and survived it with regime changes and everything else that he went through there, I don't think he didn't hurt himself by going back to Bruce Arians. I do think Bowles will be on the sidelines as a head coach again next year somewhere, as opposed to, I don't know, let's try to bring in the new hot coordinator. I think some teams would rather bring in a guy that's been there, done that. The question is, Mike McCarthy is apparently groveling. Like, he wants back in.
He'll be back in.
Okay. I could definitely see him coming back, but he's like really going out of his way to let everyone know he wants to come back and be in a league.
Yeah, and he will be. And here's the other thing. Also, when we talk about Bowles, Joe, could it also be possible? We all know Bruce Arians is only a couple years there, right?
Yeah.
Could it be that Bowles has a little bit of wink, wink, nod, nod, you'll be taking over for BA?
Right. That could very well as well. That's a good point.
You know, like, hey, let's build this together. And then when I can't do it, you know, I'll give it right to you. That may even be the case with Leftwich, right? And that's why I said I thought it was great that he had two African-American coordinators. And BA has been huge for the black player and the black coach. I wouldn't be surprised.
Chase McDaniel's deal is already secured. I think that's why. Otherwise, there's no reason why he shouldn't be on the sideline for a team being a head coach.
Oh, Josh McDaniels.
But
yeah, so could they also
Josh
have some
McDaniels,
kind of
right, yes.
training thing? But there'll be opportunities for Bowles. But maybe Bowles stays tight and realizes
and
that he's the
next Tampa.
Man for them.
That's, why not? That's a good point.
If they progress, let's say they get better one, two more years, and then BA is like, all right, I've done what I had to do here. Let me give it to one of my trusted protege.
Pass it on, because who knows how long Arians ain't in for a rebuild. That's not why he went there. You only got him for 2 to 3 years at most anyway. So maybe he sits put. Yep. Good point. All right, who you going with tonight?
Give me the. Oh, I mean, no. I'm buying. Give me the thing.
I'll go to the over. Where are you going?
taking the under and the Saints. They're the Saints.
Good luck. We'll be back tomorrow. Break it down for you.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Did you miss me?
Here's what you missed on Make It Rain. And I don't want to miss a
thing. For $20 million, he's worth it for a year. He's at least proven that.
That's what I'm saying. But the franchise tag for the quarterback position is way above what Tannehill's market value would be.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be exactly what he would get. Some team in the NFL is going to look at Ryan Tannehill. If Tennessee doesn't want him, they will sign him to a long-term deal and give him his money.
Joe, the franchise tag for the quarterback is like $30 million a year.
What's the other choice then? What's the other choice for Tennessee?
Like I just said, sign him to a two-year deal at what his actual
market. But he's got to agree to that, though.
Yes. Yes, I understand that, Joe. But, right. Like, obviously, he would take the franchise tag. But then in the open market, okay, mm-hmm. You're competing just like every other team. And unless there's a team that will give him high-level starter money, which I don't think will happen, which is the franchise tag. No,
yeah, but
Joe.
That's my point. There will be a team in the NFL that looks at Ryan Tannehill and says, absolutely, we'll go ahead and give him a 3 to 5 year deal.
Jared Goff, Jimmy G deal?
Absolutely. Well, maybe not to that extent, but they're going to give him way more than Tennessee's going to offer him. Way more than
what
Tennessee.
About, Joe. That is the franchise tag, though. Jimmy G's number, Jared Goff's number, is the franchise tag. It's the average of the top five in the position.
But it's 1 year. You're not committed. Right. It's the commitment, not the number. The $30 million you're going to have to spend because you have no choice. The question is, do you want to extend it and have to pay him that 2 to 3, 4 years? I don't think so. I think you're just going to suck him up for one more year.
A two-year deal at like $23, $24 million. That's what I say is their answer.
He is never going to accept that because there's going to be some schlep out there who's going to use him and, you know what? Give me Ryan Tannehill. I'll take him. I have no problem because these quarterbacks don't grow on trees, and you ain't getting them in the draft. So what are you supposed to do, Tennessee? You're not – Mariota's gone. So if you lose Tannehill, who the hell's the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? He's got them leveraged right now. So it's either you give him $30 million.
There's a lot more options. We've been talking about it all year. There's the Mariotas, the Andy Daltons of the world.
You'd rather have Andy Dalton than Tannehill?
If it's
that's my point.
No, and my point is that there's enough options out there that they won't be forced into giving him this kind of money.
I don't think. I think he's got them by the short ones because Tennessee has no options.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.